And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score meets 2-10. Dublin, 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and me, the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Davey Risman and Mickey Brennan. Action-packed podcast this week, Davey. How was your weekend, I suppose, before we move on?
Yeah, weekend was good. Three games. Soccer match Friday, football match Saturday, hurling match Sunday, and then I was at the Kilmainham lip sync on... Oh, sorry. How could I forget? The Arsenal and Liverpool game was sandwiched in between the hurling and the Kilmainham lip sync. Just worth mentioning that. Brilliant night in the Headford with the Kilmainham lip sync, and hats off to them. Brilliant success for them, and they're planning on starting to build that AstroTurf pitch, which they're fundraising toward, I think, in May or June. So good luck to them on that. Great club and a fantastic night. So good weekend all round. Mickey, what about yourself?
Oh, yeah, good weekend. I was down in Fermanagh. I wasn't down to watch them playing, obviously. I was down in Lochearn for the weekend. It was my Christmas present, so just chilled out, nice bite to eat and a skilling, and met up with a few of the happy Fermanagh supporters and the disappointed Kildare supporters in a couple of the pubs around for and a skilling on Saturday night. But I'd say it was pretty much similar up around the athletic grounds. And I suppose that's where we'll start, Davey. Is Meath and Armagh on Saturday night lights in the athletic grounds. Armagh 216, Meath 10 points, a 12-point win. Meath leading by 3 points to one after 12 minutes. 20 minutes gone, 4 points apiece. Looks like, you know, it's going to be a bit of a game and whatever. Then, I suppose, Armagh getting that goal just before half time, and there was no kick out of Meath in the second half, Davey.
No, that was the disappointing thing. For the second consecutive week, Meath conceded a goal just before half time, and that was really a decisive score, like it was against Fermanagh, you know. And to make matters worse, Armagh got their second goal 2 minutes into the second half. But to put it into some sort of context, Mickey, the first 25 minutes, actually, I think until the 28th minute, we were level, 4 points apiece, which is hard to comprehend how badly things fell apart after that, you know, because we were really competitive and, in truth, probably should have been further in front, more than that 3 points to one lead. We had opportunities, but maybe Armagh were playing within themselves and playing like they did last week against Loud, and when they went up the gears, we just couldn't live with them, and the two goals either side of halftime just really knocked the stuffing out of us. And it was a really, really long and drawn out second half for me. That was it was tough to watch because Armagh were just picking us off at will. And the scoreline actually didn't flatter them in the end, so much so that they were kind of clipping balls over the bar when really, if they wanted, they could have been going for the juggler and looking for more goals late on. So very disappointing second and third quarter of that game, because the first quarter of it was decent, to be fair.
And I suppose when we go back to last week and listening to Colm over the last number of weeks, and probably since the start of the year, is, and I'm probably trying to make excuses, but it could be a valid excuse, is the Sigerson contingent starting to catch up with us now? You know, they're not getting to train regularly with the county, not getting to set out tactics, and maybe they're just not up to speed because they're out of that environment so much, and not, you know, not being within that group solely.
Yeah, it's not a help, right? But I don't think we can use it as an excuse. And the one thing I would pull from
clutching
the two games
straws
is our best
here, Davey. I'm clutching at straws.
Yeah, no, I understand, and you have to try and find a reason for it. But the answer to me for that one is that our best player across the two games has been Owen Frayne, who's probably played six games, eight games in the last 2 or 3 weeks, you know, and he's got 4 points in each of the first two for Meath. So I don't think it's fair because he's playing really, really well. So he doesn't look tired. Yes, it doesn't help from a training perspective, but maybe that's why the 2 week break might be beneficial. The Sigerson are in their semi final week this week coming. And by the time the Loud game rolls around, the Sigerson will be finished. And you would like to think the lads will have 2 weeks and they'll have had plenty of time to work on things. But no, I think it's probably something else. I don't think if it was a kick of the ball either way, you could say yeah, and we were getting tired, but we shouldn't be like, the game was over on Saturday night after 37 or 8 minutes of play. Like that's the issue I have with it, you know, when they got their second goal, that was game, set, and match, really. And I don't think Sigerson was really anything to do with that, you know.
I'm just thinking of the continuity and the kind of camaraderie within the panel, because they're not together the whole time, and you know, maybe there's distractions and they're like going, oh well, look, this game is over, I have to concentrate now on other things and whatever. But it can't be helping the lack of continuity, the lack of camaraderie, the lack of spending time together all the time training for the one goal. But it seems that they all have separate goals outside of the Meath thing at the moment. And that's understandable. I'm not knocking them. Of course, they're in college and a lot of them are in scholarships and they have to play and the whole lot. Like, so if it's not that, like, what are we lacking there at the moment, Davey? Because we will be doing a full review of this over on our Loyal Royals podcast. We do have an interview with Colm O'Rourke after that game in the Athletic Grounds. But just before we move on, because we don't want to harp on about it too long.
Well, to state the obvious, we're lacking in leaders and we're lacking in experience, and we're playing better quality opposition to admittedly what we played last year. And whilst the Talty Cup was beneficial and it was good, we were playing Division 3 and 4 teams. We're back into an ultra-competitive Division 2, and it's sort of back to the future like we were last year. We're in the same kind of vein at the moment. Look, it's very difficult. I think something that they're missing, and again, it probably comes with the experience, and I spoke to you on the phone about this last week, was just a little bit of, I can't think of another word but badness to say. And I don't mean dirt or filth or anything like that. I just mean physicality, which is what other teams do to us. Like, you've seen Fermanagh doing it to us. Armagh kind of did it as well. They do sort of bully us, you know, and I'm not quite sure if it's to do with the amount of young players that we have, and maybe it'll take them time to get to grips with. That's what inter-county football is about. But at the moment, we do seem to be a little bit too nice to play against. Like, if I was an opposing team coming up against Meath, you'd be licking your lips. Like, you'd be saying, get stuck into these lads, and they have a soft centre to them. And that's how it appears over the last couple of weeks. But our next two games, incidentally, are two games that we could surely get up for, which are Louth and Kildare, you know, both in Navan, and they will ultimately decide, you know, where exactly we're going in the National League, whether or not we're going to be able to stay up or not. We'll know in the next 3 or 4 weeks, basically, based on those two games.
And like looking at the results across Division 2, it's a dog-eat-dog division. And if you were to look at the two outliers, probably they would be Donegal and Armagh. So, you know, maybe it's not like, it's not the end of the world losing to Armagh if Armagh are going to go on and dominate this division. But what you'd want to see is a kick out of that and say, right, put that down to experience. It was one that would have been a bonus, because I think we were nearly 3-1 to beat Armagh, the Bookies and whatever. They don't usually get it too far wrong. So it's drawn a line under that. And then looking at the teams around us and the teams that we have to meet, the likes of Kildare, who are in turmoil at the moment, Louth, who are, you know, have one win under the belt and whatever, a win would leapfrog them. And, you know, looking then to the other games after that, maybe leave them alone for the moment, you know, that kind of way, and then think about it. Because the next two games, as you said, are going to be pivotal in this season, because it will tell you whether you're going to be staying in the division or you're going to be fighting relegation towards the end of the league campaign. So those two games are just monumental at the moment.
They are. Just go back to your initial point, though, about going up to Armagh. I don't think even the most optimistic Meath supporter was going up there expecting a result. But what we were all expecting was a much improved performance from the week previous. And that, for me, was the most disappointing thing about Saturday night, in that we didn't get that.
We did for the first 30 minutes or whatever. Like, you know, we looked good.
Yeah, but that's not good enough.
Oh, I know that. But what I'm saying to you is that tells us that they're capable of.
Yeah, we know we have decent footballers. Like, that's, I don't think that's the issue, but I think confidence is probably at a low ebb. And we speculated about Louth. This is the outlier for me, right? Louth nearly got a result up in Armagh the week previous, and they used that performance as a platform to go and beat Cork the following week. You look at Fermanagh, they used the draw against us as a confidence booster to go and beat Kildare at home, right? So where do we draw the positives for what's to come based on the two performances? I don't think you can. So maybe it is just a case of wiping the slate clean from the last 2 weeks and saying, right, forget about them. We have 2 weeks now to literally focus the minds on two massive games in quick succession. The Kildare game, to me, is academic almost if you don't beat Louth. I think the Louth game is absolutely must win. And by all accounts, they're probably going to come to Navan as favourites, having got that brilliant win last weekend and beaten Mead, you know, the league last year too. So, which again might be a bad thing, because I do think Mead tend to play a little bit better when the pressure is off to a degree. Now, that wasn't the case on Saturday night, but by and large, it generally is.
But that Kildare game will actually be, if you think about it, it will be much bigger than the Louth game, because Kildare have two losses as it is. If they were to get a win the next day out, they'd be on 2 points. But if Meath beat them the following week, Meath would have to head the head-to-head over them from the end of the season, which could be crucial.
I think if Louth get a win against us the next day, they're up to 4 points. We're left on one. So there's daylight between us and Louth. You fancy maybe Cavan or Fermanagh, I don't know, they might pick up a result. Like, Cavan go to Cork, something's got to give there, in that, you know, Cork haven't got a win yet. Cavan just have one win from their two games. So someone's going to pull. So it could come to a case where we're playing Kildare and the two of us are, I won't say marooned, but you get my gist. We're probably going to be.
I just think that a win over Kildare will be, if you're going to be kind of pessimistic and look at, okay, we could be fighting relegation here, a win over Kildare is more important than a win over Louth. Especially,
I think you have to win. You have to win both games, Mickey, I think.
Yeah, I just struggle to see where Cork or Kildare are going to pick up wins. And if Kildare were to pick up a win the next day, I do think that Cavan will get the result against Cork. And I think that I don't know who Kildare have next.
They're at home to Donegal.
Like, I don't see them getting a victory there. So, no. You know, a victory over Kildare is a must, I think, because
I think before that,
head to head.
I think we have to beat Louth, though, genuinely.
Yeah, I suppose I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but I'm just looking forward, and I'm thinking about how results might go. I think that I just think head to head could be crucial towards the end of this. Anyways, as you said, it's Meath versus Louth, the 18th of February. It's 2 weeks' time. It's in Park Tailteann, 2 p.m. And that's Meath's next obstacle in the Allianz League Division 2. We'll obviously be coming back to that in the next following weeks, and later on when we get to our Instagram talking points. But we'll move on now, Davey, to the ladies. And the ladies got their third victory of the campaign down in Fraher Field in Waterford. 2-10 to 2-5. Another 2 goals for the Meath ladies. And, you know, they're just, it's something, it's great to see that they're banging in the goals now week on week. And, you know, it's just brilliant to see Farrelly again on the score sheet with another goal. Really becoming that focal point in the forward line.
She really is. They're averaging 2 goals a game. They hit 2-10 again in difficult conditions down in Dungarvan, which is, it's really, really good. It's 3 from 3. They're sitting pretty at the top of the division. Marion got another goal. Alva Lee came in for a start, marked it with a goal, a brilliant goal as well, it has to be said. Niamh Gallogly, once again, absolutely superb in the half-back line with those driving, penetrative runs. Emma Duggan clipped over 6 points with four frees in and amongst that. And there was a number of other scores as well, and the likes of Shelley Mealy, Kira Smith, Rachel Cassidy off the bench, which is great to see, and Galogli. So fantastic win, comfortable enough win, 5 points in the end. And we know the way Meath are, 5 point win is a comprehensive enough win for them. And no dramas whatsoever, despite the fact I think they left the jerseys behind. So they had to wear a local team's jersey. I think people were having conniptions online about these jerseys. Is there a new Meath ladies jersey on? There's not, but thankfully that didn't derail them at all, and they're top of the tree.
Yeah, top of the tree, 9 points plus 15 of a score difference. Kerry in second on 11 points. Kerry playing today?
They're playing at the moment. They're 4 points up as we speak, coming up to halftime.
So they'll probably join Meath at the top. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Armagh got their third victory of the campaign on the weekend. So a bit of distance, a bit of daylight between first and fourth. And it looks like it's going to be between Meath, Kerry and Armagh for those two final spots in the league, which is absolutely brilliant, Davey. Like, you know, at this stage, like, you wouldn't even consider relegation now at this stage for Meath. Whereas this time last year, there was a little bit of worry after three games.
Yeah, there was a lot of worry after three games. So it's a great turnaround in that, yeah, over the last 12 months. And with such a turnover of players, Mickey, I think it's a brilliant, brilliant start for Shane McCormick. He'll be thrilled with it. Still loads of room for improvement and still potentially a few players to come back in and amongst it. But the squad that they have now, they've settled in brilliantly. There seems to be a consistency with the starting 15 already, which is great to see. Like, you're not chopping it and changing. There are girls who are trying to stake a claim, the likes of Alva Leahy being one of them, you know, coming in for a start. But overall, it's a really, really good start for me. Then hopefully they can carry that on for the remainder.
Yeah, Duggan with 6 points, Farley and Leahy with a goal each, Casserly, Melia, Kira Smith, Niamh Galogli all on the score sheet with a point each as well. Casserly coming off the bench and getting a score, if I'm not mistaken, as well. Is she St. Dalton's?
She is, yeah. She's been on the panel now for a couple of years. Didn't really get too much game time last year, but still a young player and a terrific club player as well. So great to see Rachel getting on and kicking a point.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And, you know, it's a new style of play that they're trying to play. They haven't reinvented the wheel now or anything. They've tinkered with what they were doing, and it's working well for them. And, you know, as the league games go on and they play this style of football, it's only going to get better, maybe.
That's it. It's an evolving game, you know, and the attacking football that they're playing is brilliant. But defensively, it's been pretty good too. They're probably still conceding a little bit too much for their liking, with the exception of the Dublin game, the first day and the weekend. Maybe Shane would be a little bit unhappy with the volume of score. Now, if you're playing more attacking football, it's going to be hard to keep it closed down the other end and that. So, exactly, and that's it too. But overall, hard to pick too many negatives. Then it's been a brilliant, brilliant start to the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And we wish them the very best luck. Ladies are out against Armagh Sunday, the 18th of February at 2 p.m. It's the same time as the men. On the same Sunday, but that game will be played in Ashburn. It is a home venue for me, the ladies, against Armagh, and that could be a massive game in determining whether Meath will be, whether it'll be in their hands or not going forward towards the end of the season, whether they'll make it to a league final. So we're hoping for a massive crowd in Ashburn that day, and a massive crowd in Park Tolchin as well, because the two games will throw in at the same time, 2 p.m. on the 18th of February.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control Automower from your phone. Automower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Okay, so Davey, moving on to the hurlers this time, and they were out in their first round of the Allianz Hurling League, and they reversed the fortunes of last week when they played Kildare in Hawkfield in what was basically the final of the Keogh Cup, and they got the victory today. It was the last day out, it was 122 to 119 in favour of Kildare, but on home soil, the Meath hurlers. They put Kildare to the sword. Now, not to the, well, they won 220 to 314, 17 scores to 22. Meath dominant. Kildare, first 20 minutes, were looked like they were going to run away with it, but Meath rallied towards the end of the first half. They got right back into this game and were 2 points down. And what a barnstorm in second half from them, Davey.
This was a superb performance, probably one of the best performances under the tenure of Saoirse Bulfin for many reasons. One being simply the turnover of players that they've had. I think only 9 of the match day 26 that played against or that was named to be in the panel against Kildare were involved last year. Up to 17 players, Mickey, have stepped away from the Christy Ring Cup winning team. So there's been a massive, massive turnover in players, which I think makes it all the more impressive. Kildare are a really decent side. Don't be fooled by the fact that they're going back to play Christy Ring this year. They're a proper outfit, and they've had Meade's number by and large over the last couple of years too. Meade were 3-1 underdogs going into this game, and they were 7 points down midway through the first half, playing against a really strong Breeze, admittedly, but it looked bleak at that stage because you fancied Kildare would go on and probably lead by up to 10 points at halftime. But Meade rallied, got it back to 2 points. A fantastic Nicky Potter in goal got them back in contention. They were only 2 points down at halftime with the Breeze at their backs in the second half. And in the second half, it was a superb display. Nicky Potter got a second goal. James Toher was exceptional, hit 4 points from play. And I thought Simon Ennis was sensational at the heart of the defence. This was a brilliant, brilliant victory. Really was. And I know there's no relegation this year. And if it was, this would have been a relegation four-pointer. But the confidence that they'll get from this is just massive. And the test will get harder. You know, they're going to play Carlow away next weekend. And Carlo are a Liam McCarthy team now, having won the Joe McTunnell last year. So that'll tell you just the magnitude of the task at hand. But on the back of this result, Mickey, they'll go there with great confidence.
Yeah, we will have a full review over on our Loyal Royals podcast on Patreon.com/WeAreMeath, where we have interviews with Saoirse Bulfin and James Toher after that victory. It's a team that Meath have struggled with in the last number of years, Davey. And to get one over them the first day out, as you said, with the turnover of players and the whole lot, is absolutely massive. But a question I have for you. We know that there's been 5 drafts made into this Meath panel. Did we see any of our draftees getting any game time? Or getting on
No, I think there's an issue with registration with those fellas at the moment, which is just slowing things up. They are training away with Meath and that, but they're still to really feature at all. So the 4 lads from Kilkenny and 1 lad from Limerick, will be a big addition when they do come, hopefully. So that bodes well too.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I was just looking at the team that was named the other day without on MeGA's socials and whatever, and I was looking down through it, and I was like, going, still none of these draftees coming in. Maybe they're just not good enough. Maybe that's what it is. But tongue in cheek, it'll be interesting to see how they fit in when they do get their chance to play with me. But absolutely fantastic result. As we said, we'll be doing a full review of that game over on our Loyal Royals. And thanks to Saoirse Bulfin and James Toher for stopping with Davey after the game to do those interviews.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Okay, Davey, I think this is the part of the podcast that most of our listeners will be tuned in intently to hear about this. It is, of course, the GAA predictions, the We Are Meath League, and obviously the results from the weekend. Was there any big climbers in our league, Davey, apart from yourself, let's just say?
I had a good week making a own light here. Consistency was the order of the day at the top of the table, though, in our league, with Stephen Shepherd and Fergal Lynch, I think, maintaining their positions as one and two. Could be wrong on that, but Stephen Shepherd, who was top of the tree last week, actually improved on his week one score with 37 points to strengthen his grip on the top of the leaderboard by 4 points to the Meath Chronicle sports editor, Mr. Fergal Lynch, who's on 67 points. It was a more higher scoring week, probably unsurprising, than the first week, which was a bit of a graveyard for most. So the scoring was up across the board. The winner of the overall week was Seamus Patrick Gallagher with 47 points. He gets 100 quid. And our good sponsor from PR Coyne and Sons, Kevin Coyne, just edged out. He's finishes in second spot with 46 points. So he'll get 50 quid for his troubles. And well, then there were three players tied on 45. Darren Traynor, Kieran Fadian and Owen Fidigan with 45 apiece, so they'll get 20 quid each for their troubles. So a good week all round. On the We Are Meath League, Mickey, I'll run you through it if you want from start to finish.
Absolutely.
You dipped a bit.
I tried to be clever. I went with, as I said last week on the podcast, so I had to kind of stick to my guns. I went with draws in Division 1 and 2 across the board. But I got 7 right out of Division 3 and 4. I got 1 draw, obviously, in Division 1, Roscommon and Galway. And I had 2 games that in the last seconds, there was winning scores got for opposing teams. And that would have brought me up. Had I got the 2 of them, Davey, I would have been on 44, 45 points. So it nearly paid off, let's just say.
You've taken a tumble in the leaderboard, though, as a result. So Shep and Fergal share 1 and 2, 71 and 67 points, respectively. There's then 2 players tied on 66, Jarlett Brennett and Hugh Durrigan. 63 points for Thomas Barker, along with Paul Green from Manalvi. 62 points sees Ronan Casty, Seamus Patrick Gallagher, who incidentally is the week 2 winner. And just to put into context, Seamus Patrick Gallagher only got 15 points in week 1, and he's after winning the week with 47. It just shows the difference. He's up to 62 along with Kevin Galligan and Barry McDonald. Then it's Fergus Grimes from Scorbio along with Dunica Lynch, George Plunkett and myself. We're all on 61. 60 are points you, for Brendan
you're
Burke.
After, Kevin. You're after going ahead of me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm disappointed now. I didn't realise that you went ahead of me. I thought 28 points would be good.
Yeah, no, not this week. There would have been a good score last week. 60 points then for Brendan Byrne, Kevin Coyne and Jelly, James O'Dwyer, who'll be also happy to be ahead of you, Mickey.
Jesus Christ.
59 points for yourself and Shane Riley. So you're not that far adrift, but no, 59 no. points tied on with Shane. Colm Finlay, Owen Finnegan,
Mark McCoy all on 58. 57 points for a host of players, including Hugh Gamble, Colin Gleeson, Jared Goff, Thomas McLeod, and Connor Moreau. 56 points for James Costello, James Lynch, Ross McGrath, Katie Alwell, and Brendan White. 55 points then for Kira Donoghue, Brian Flynn, Ben Hoy, Robbie Keane, John Lynch, Shane Mulvaney. 54 points for Henry Clifford, David Gordon, Glenn McDonnell, Joe McGuinney, Richie Quigley, and Brian Smith. 53 points for Gary Alder, Zach Griffin, Mags Joyce, Paul McCarthy, Shane McNiff, Sean Murray, and Colm Mhuilleoge and Owen Reid. So a host of players on 53. 52 then for Con Cleary, Owen Griffin, and Shane Traynor. 51 for Mossy Burke, Terry Bruton, Sean Hughes, Ronan McNamara, Hugh Staunton, and Leo Weldon. 50 points for Colin Brennan, Stephen Brennan, and Andrew Daly, along with Declan Dixon and Ryan O'Rourke. Barry Hand and Gary McGovern have 49 points. 48 points is shared by Damien Farley, Donald McLeod, Shane Mangan, Declan Masterson, Colin O'Brien, who's really struggling, and Tommy Owens. Freddie Coyne is on, lost it there for a sec. Freddie Coyne's on 47, as is Nicholas Finley, David Lynch, Dennis Ryan, and Paddy Stapleton, another man who's really struggling.
I was wondering, I was starting to wonder how long it was going to take you to get to PS Tapes' name.
Yeah, and he almost fecked it up this week as well, because the first week he entered under the name Paddy Stapleton, and the second week he entered under PS Tapes. I'm not sure was he looking to get off on a technicality, but I spotted it, thankfully, Mickey, so the league was adjusted accordingly, but he's already playing tricks and we're only 2 weeks in, like. Anyway, 46 points for Aideen Smith, 45 points for Owen Dugan, Paul Finnegan, Nicky Gogan, Robert Purfield, and John Timoney. Nicky Gogan improving greatly, 32 points in round two, reigning a defending champ. Just not out of contention yet. He is a bit defined, though. Moving on then to Ulton Blake, Pádraig Carlin, Harry Corbley, Susan Farrell, Andrew Jackson, Una McCullough, John McGurty, Ivor O'Halloran, Tom O'Connor, and Dara Tuohy. They're all on 44. Barry Canning has 43. David Byrne has 42. Garrett Lynch and Conor McAleese have 41 apiece. 40 is on with Gabriel McDonnell and Gary Coyne, along with Alan McCormick, the sobbing Liverpool fan. 39 points for Stephen Connolly, Stephen Foley, and Alan Tormey, who's also really struggling. You'd expect better from Alan. But he's only on 39 at the moment. Livia Cusson has 38. She's improved from her week one. Annette Lynch has 37. Brian Coleman and Conor O'Loughlin have 35, along with Patricia Plunkett. Mark Kelly is 33. Marcus Morrison is 33. Sean Ryan is 33. And Kieran Shankey is 33. 31 for Carl McCormick. 28 for Cathal Taf. 21 for Sean Dalton. And 13 for Josh Wall. But the last four people in that league have only played one of the 2 weeks, so they've either forgot to play round two or they've only played round two and didn't enter for round one. So there you have it.
Ouchie. Yeah, I tried to be too clever, just kind of kicking myself here. This always happens with me when I do these types of things. You know, you have a good week and then you go, oh, I'm going to have to try and, you know, be cleverer than everybody else, and you end up becking things right up. But yeah, look, really interesting, and best luck to everybody next week, or 2 weeks' time. We get a 2 week break. I'm going to do a bit of training over the next 2 weeks so that I can get myself ready for round three of the Allianz Football League. But maybe I won't go for draws. Maybe I will. I'll have a look at the predictions in a couple of weeks' time. Yeah, great stuff. Davey, we'll move on to our lottos now. Have the PROs been in contact with you? I have the usual couple.
Yeah, they have indeed. Mioma Corton GFC are first up from Friday night, the 2nd of February. We did 17,800 lotto jackpot. It wasn't won. The numbers were 6, 14, 18, and 29. 520 euro winners were Breda Brady, Robbie Woods, Tommy McCormick, Ian and Lisa Dowdle, and Maeve Riley. We go again on Friday night coming with 17,900 euro, cortownga.com/lotto. The next one in comes from Dunamore Ashburn, and their one is just loading up in front of me on the club's app, and their results from the 4th of February. They had a 9,200 euro jackpot. It wasn't won. They had three match three winners: Ben O'Brien, Paul Giblin, and Michael Daly. The lucky dip winners were Maria Netta, Benny Connor, Breed Carr, Etna Tormey,
Dina Geraghty Collins, Ivan Gore, Mairead Omwelodge, Declan Tormey, Kathleen Tyrrell, and Jan Millington. The numbers were 6, 16, 17, and 28. They have got a €9,300 jackpot on the 11th of February. Walterstown are in next from Sunday the 4th of February, which was last night. 2, 4, 10, and 21, their numbers. No jackpot winner of their €10,000 top prize. The match three winners were Martin Curran and Louise McCabe, who shared the €100. The jackpot still worth €10,000. You can play online via Club Force. The envelopes are also available in Curran's garage or in O'Brien's in Johnstown or in the club bar. Castletown, from the 31st of January, they had a €7,200 jackpot. It wasn't won. The numbers were 14, 17, 18, 22. €30 lucky dip winners were Anne Young, Lisa Kelly, Rachel and Polly, Mary Smith and Antia, and Ollie Casty. Navidad Matneys from last week, 2, 12, 16, 31, their numbers, no jackpot winner. Match 3 winner was Katrina Clerken, and next draw takes place on the 6th of February. It's worth €15,000. Kilmainham, from last Monday night, the 29th of January, they had no winner of their jackpot. The numbers were 4, 5, 9 and 16. That means the next week's jackpot is worth €10,900. The lucky dip winners from last week, each receiving €20, were Wally and Sharon Farley, Pat Mangan, Audrey Needle, Kenny Henry and Miriam Byrne. Manalvi next up from Monday night, the 29th of January. The numbers were 8, 17, 21 and 26. No winner of that one. €320 winners were Robert Donovan, Anne Gannon and Louise Bruton. The next draw takes place on the 5th of February. It's worth €6,600. You can play it at manalvigfc.ie or on the Club Force app. Drumbarra from last week, their numbers were 5, 24, 25 and 26. 5,000 of a jackpot, not one. The 30-year winners were Lorraine Smith, Cormac Carey, Joe Smith, Anne-Marie and Mickey Dunnough. And that brings you up to speed. I think the last one, I might have one more here. Sorry, I do. It's from Manalty. And their results from the 28th of January, which was last Sunday night, they had a €2,200 jackpot. The numbers were 2, 5, 13 and 16. No jackpot winner. Four match three winners, each receiving €50 were Pat Nevin, Aisling Donoghue, Gillian Carey and Peter Rogers. The special online prize of €50 went to David Daly. And they go again tonight, which is Bank Holiday Monday, 5th of February, with €2,400, Mickey.
Brilliant stuff, Davey. Centerson's Lotto last week was €1,000. It had been won the week beforehand. The numbers drawn on the 29th were 8, 11, 25 and 26. No jackpot winner. Five €25 winners were Rachel Smith, Jennifer Smith, Jennifer Day, Ray Butler, Fraser Thom and Anne Flynn. Next week's jackpot, or this week's jackpot, is €1,100. Kilmainham Woods Lotto from Monday the 29th as well. 9, 20, 22 and 23 were the numbers drawn. No jackpot winner. Five lucky dip winners were Anne Byrne, Declan Rogers, Serene Rogers, Noel Gargan and Mary Nolte. And this week's lotto is 6,800. And then Simonson's Lotto from last Friday the 2nd. The jackpot was 4,850. There was no winner. The match three winner was Tom Gallagher. The numbers drawn were 1, 13, 20 and 29. Next week's lotto is €4,900. And I'll just stick with that because I got that in from Jelly. And he just has a couple of comments. You could probably throw these into Instagram Interactive in a couple of minutes' time. But he said, it's great to have the county season up and running. The club season just around the corner. But what you love to hear most is the League of Ireland is kicking off soon too, Mickey. So yeah, can't wait for that, Jelly. And then drew in a few laughing faces. And then he asked as well, I forgot to ask earlier, how many draws did you go for this week in the GAA predictions? Well, I've already announced that. And I think it was a, I think that was a loaded question because he wanted to see how well he had done compared to me. And yes, I went for draws in Division 1 and 2. I only got one up, Jelly. Had I got another two, you'd be way behind me. But you have, I think, if I'm not mistaken, gone ahead of me or have joined me at the same score or whatever. But don't worry, I'm coming for you and I'm coming for Davey.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Davey, you were saying to me off air that there's been plenty of Instagram interactive this week, and I suppose we'll kick into that just now.
Yeah, sure. Dara Tui is up first, and he said a massive derby in 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely. It is. For this Meath team, it would be a massive, massive injection of confidence to get a victory over Loud at this stage, David.
I think it's probably a bit early to say it's a season-defining game, but it could be one that we look back on in a few months' time and say that was maybe the turning point, hopefully. If we can get a result against Loud, then maybe our season will hopefully turn for the better then, Mickey.
Yeah, absolutely. You get a win against Loud, you get a win against Kildare, and you're guaranteed safety nearly at that stage in Division 2. And you've got a couple of games to play, and you might have something to play for still at that stage.
Yeah. Conor Tully is next up, and he said Owen Frayne flying it. Meade's best player in the first two games.
Yeah, well, he's our highest scorer in both of those games. It's an interesting stat that our top scorers for two games in a row is only on 4 points. That's not taken away from Frayne at all. But you would love to see a key forward kicking 3 points from play, 4 points from play, and also kicking maybe 4 frees on top of that. You know, that's something that we've spoken about in the last few weeks that we're kind of missing at the moment.
Well, that's it. 8 points he's got out of 22 scored across two games, which isn't enough. You know, you got 12 against Fermanagh and only 10 against Armagh. So therein lies a problem in itself. We're not scoring enough. We're not converting enough of our chances. It's not as if we're not creating them.
He's a great silver. He's a great little shining light. We're not taking away from him.
Yeah.
But we just, you know, he needs help. He needs lads chipping in more as well.
For sure. Sean Murray said, first round of the Cup move to Johnny McDonough's birthday weekend. Madness.
Yeah, I don't think the CCC knew about Johnny McDonough's birthday. And had they known, they obviously would have moved it forward or back. And they wouldn't have allowed them to coincide with each other. It's crazy.
Madness altogether. Kieran Kyo said attendance in Park Tolton today. Hurlers need more support.
You can talk about that. You were there.
Well, I actually thought there was a decent crowd, Mickey. Maybe it was me, but I've been to Park Tolton for league games for the Meath Hurlers over the last number of years, and there's probably been less than 100 people at the games. The stand was fairly populated now on Sunday. I thought there was a decent crowd, maybe 3/4 full. I'd agree there could be more at it, but I actually thought there was a decent support there, and I thought they generated a really good atmosphere. Everybody was up for it, and they certainly helped to drive the players on in that second half. So whilst I understand his point, I thought the people that were there did enough to help the team, but obviously you'd love to see a few more too.
Well, hopefully another couple of victories or something like that, and the Meath people will get out and get behind them, and as the weather gets better as well, it'd be great to see people get behind Shorsha and the lads, because we put in serious effort to get to where they are, I suppose.
They did indeed. Shane Riley said, why do we look like a team that's not coached? clueless on and off the ball. We have to beat Louth and Kildare. I fancy us against Cork on Paddy's Day.
Like, I kind of, that was probably what I was getting at the top of the podcast, Davey, when we were talking about the big game, is that they haven't had a chance to be coached. You know, like, because there's 14 players involved with Sigerson, they're not at Colm O'Rourke's disposal the whole time to coach them. As I said, like, they're not getting as much coaching as any other team. Like, and that's just, I suppose, one of the negatives about having such a young panel.
Yeah, I hope that's the reason.
We have to clutch at something. We have to go with something.
I suppose the other thing you could maybe link to that is, I think Meath were probably one of the later teams to go back training. I don't think they were back from the get-go, or when they probably shouldn't have been back, they were back. They were late back, you know, and I'm just wondering if that has anything to do with it, maybe in terms of obviously the coach and the tactics, but more of the fitness and that too. I'm not sure. Are they trying to keep an eye on maybe the summer to maybe peak later on in the year? Again, maybe I'm clutching at straws, but there could be something in that.
Yeah, hopefully. Look, we've got loads of straws now.
Peter Duffy said, let's go Bunting mental. I don't know, did you see, Mickey? Stephen Bunting won the World Masters over the weekend there, beat MVG in the final. So Peter Duffy must have been glued to the darts.
No, I didn't see it, Davey. As I said, I was otherwise engaged over the weekend.
So hats off to Stephen Bunting, really likable player and very popular winner of that one.
What about Luke Littler? What happened to him?
He actually wasn't in it, would you believe? It's only the top 24 players in the world based on rankings, and Luke Littler is only just inside the top 32. He'll be in the Masters next year and probably every other year after that. So,
yeah.
Nice for him to give someone else a chance.
I was just going to say, maybe that's what it was. You know, he was saying, look, lads, you fight over that one because I'm going to be taking the rest of them off.
Robert Purfield wants to know, I'll actually do all these together because there's about three or four of them. Robert Purfield said, did the Mead ladies kit get left behind today? Andy Smith says, Mead ladies jersey, what happened there? And Joey Mooney said, did the Mead ladies have new jerseys for the Waterford game? So as you can see, Mickey, it's generated quite a bit of a stir.
Yeah, it has indeed. Were the jerseys at least green and gold?
Oh, you couldn't call them green and gold. There was a bit of green on them on that, but there was a bit of red and all sorts. I believe they got them from a club called Galtier Ladies. They're a club around Waterford City, and it was due to a mix-up with the jerseys. So, it was lucky for them. Maybe they'll stick with them. I wasn't mad at it. But I seen it. I wasn't mad about the jersey, to be honest with you.
I don't think...
Doesn't look right. The feedback's not on it.
I don't think that the sponsors would be too happy if they were to stick with that jersey. And maybe if they had their own jerseys, they would have won one more, Dave.
Brendan Cage has one here. I'm not sure if there's a bit of tongue-in-cheek attached to this one, but... He said, it's a pity so many of the players on the senior team want a good education.
Well, let's go back to our earlier point of the Sigerson Cup and so many players being involved in it. And look, it's at the end of the day, I don't know which is more important, Sigerson or county football, but the fact that they're all in college is very important. And, you know, they're, as I said as well, they're probably on scholarships. A lot of these lads, they have to do what they have to do, but maybe something needs to be looked at. And I suppose we've been speaking about it for years. Different counties at different times have been hit by this type of thing, but probably not as much as Meath have been this year. And look, it just needs to be looked at, revisited.
Yeah, hopefully coming to an end though soon. Sean Murray said, Ger Foley spotted wearing a Clonard training top. Could he be a big boost if he's back?
Is he injured or if he's back? I don't know what the gist of this one is.
He came on, Ger Come on against us last year. I think he was injured and was maybe only half kind of committed to it last year. He's a savage footballer. I think he's a nephew of Kevin's. And like when Clonard were going well, probably 8 or 9 years ago, 10 years ago, he was exceptional for them at centre back. So that could be good news for Clonard if he's back in the fray. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Deck F. Dunn said, who is the defence coach? Can we avoid relegation?
Well, we can definitely avoid relegation. Like, there's no doubt about that. Defence coach, I don't know. this whole thing has come to the fore in the last few years. Defence coach, midfield coaches, attacking coaches, coaches for the coaches. You know, there's an awful lot of that going on. But I don't know. Who is the defence coach, David?
I don't know myself, Mickey. I haven't a clue.
We'll have to suss that one out.
But look, I think the only disappointment, I agree with you, I do think we can avoid relegation, but isn't it disappointing that we're talking about relegation after 2 weeks? That, unfortunately, that's the way it's gone.
Yeah, but is that a bit of a knee-jerk reaction?
Sort of looking down that end instead of up the other.
Is that a bit of a knee-jerk reaction, though? Like, oh, we're, you know, there's still 5 games to go. We've got a point on the board. We've got some crucial games coming up. And like I said, I still believe that that Kildare game is going to be crucial. And you get your victory there, and I think all is fine. But you get a victory against Louth the next day. You jump them in the table, and then you get a victory over Kildare, and you're not worried about any of that. And still with 2 games to go. Let's not press the panic buttons just yet.
Hopefully. Kieran McGrogan said 6 Tailteann Cup starters out, 14 playing Sigerson, need realistic expectations.
Again, there we go. I like to hear people speaking like that, logically, and realistic expectations, and not heaping a load of pressure on these players. It's a very, very young squad, as you just pointed out. 14 players in Sigerson, 6 of the Tailteann winning cup team not available. You know, Colm has a lot to try and navigate there at the moment with this panel.
Yeah, he does. I do think Kieran has a point there. In particular, the loss of Ronan Ryan and Pádraig Cairnean has been huge at 3 and 6 respectively.
Jordy.
I believe Pádraig Cairnean is unlikely. And Jordy, I believe Pádraig Cairnean is unlikely to return as well now. So that might be one that we need to find a long-term answer to, that centre-half back position, because it doesn't look like Podge is coming back. But Jordy's another one for sure. You've got Conor Gray missing in the midfield. He's a massive loss in more ways than one, you know. So
it
hasn't been helped by that, true. Robert Perfield, probably summarising what we've been talking about for quite a while, he said, Sigerson, definitely affecting performances. Lads not about for tactical work and training.
Yeah, like that's it. And they're kind of playing off the cuff a little bit. So that's to be expected. Did Kyohe play in the full back line?
He did, yeah, he did.
Yeah, see, that's, again, like, the biggest leader on the team is being used in the full back line, so he can't affect the game further up the field like he would have always done. I still think that there's maybe a need for him at centre back at the moment.
Yeah. Dean Pepper just said Boyzone were the winning act of the Kilmainham lip sync on Sunday night, Mickey, and Dean was a prominent member of that boy band, so well done to Dean.
And who were the other members of Boyzone from Kilmainham?
Barry Lynch was one of them. I don't know if the feckin' program
that's more here, like
Barry and
more,
Dean.
Barry is more Old Spice Zone than Boyzone.
Old Spice, yeah. He was in good nick. The boys had the shirts off and the braces on them. I think Barry's lost 2 stones since Christmas probably because of this. So I'd be delighted with how it's gone, and well done to them. It was a brilliant performance. Jamie Flaherty said Arsenal winning the league in February. Yeah, there's another disgruntled Liverpool fan, Mickey. I'd have loved to have won the league in February, but Come on now.
Oh, Lord. Sure, many leagues have Liverpool. How many Christmas leagues have Liverpool won at this stage?
I thought they won the league at Christmas. I thought we're playing a new league now after Christmas, but no. We won't get into it really. It's a GA podcast after all, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's it from Insta Mickey.
What a way to end it. Absolutely. That bombshell from Fla about Arsenal winning the league already. It's just a good one, so it is. But yeah, look, we want to wish the Hurlers the very best luck next week when they go down to Carlow to take on Carlow in their second game. Again, Davey mentioned that they're playing in the All-Ireland proper, aren't they? Or they're not in the Joe McDonagh this year. They won the Joe McDonagh last McCarthy, year.
Yeah, yeah.
They're in the Liam McCarthy. So a big test for Shorty Bulfin and the lads, which I'm sure that they'll stand up to. And then the following week, it'll be the Meath Ladies and the Meath Footballers in two very big games. Meath against Armagh and Ashburn, the Ladies. And then it will be Meath against Louth at the same time in Park Colchin on the same day, Sunday the 18th of February. So that's it for this episode of Your We Are Meath podcast. Remember, We Are Meath. Bye. I don't know.